Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Final hour, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly BI membership, where the buzz is always about great service. This is always a fun week because I said it to Andrew yesterday when he was on, of when the college football video game comes out, that's when you know you're starting to get close to college football season actually being here. And this week is when they do all of the rankings releases. I want to talk about the atmospheres because Neyland Stadium was listed as the eighth hardest place to play in the country. I want to know from Vols fans, too high, too low, we'll go through that. But they did just release the top 10 teams. Quickly, we're going to play the feud here with you guys, see if you guys can guess them. All right, top 10 answers on the board. We'll let Nick start. You're going to go back and forth. And then once you get three strikes, I'll just read them off. Go ahead. Who is one of the top 10 teams in college football this year?
Ohio State.
Ohio State, the number two answer on the board. I'm going to give you points based on what level you get.
Okay.
So, you know, lower answers get you more points. Connor.
Texas.
Texas, the number five team in the country. According
really?
To, yeah. Lower than I would have thought. There you go. All right. Nick.
Georgia.
Georgia is the number nine team in the country.
More points. All right.
Nick leads 11-5. Connor.
Let's go Oregon.
Oregon, the number one team in the country. That one surprised me.
Number one,
yep.
You said?
The Ducks are the number one team in the country, according to EA College Football.
Good get, Connor. Good
there
get.
There you go.
LSU.
LSU is number seven. You guys are 5 for 5 so far.
Ole Miss.
Ole Miss is number eight.
Whoa.
Well done, Connor. All right, you've got four answers left.
Okay. Let's go with Alabama?
There's your first strike. Connor?
We'll go with the defending national champions, Indiana.
Correct. Indiana's number three. Three to go.
Miami?
Miami is the number six team in the country.
Okay.
You got two more. Number four and number 10.
Texas Tech.
All right, you got one strike left as a group.
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame, the number four team in the
country.
There we go. Nick has already won, but you can make it a one-point game, Connor, if you can guess the number 10 team in the country.
Chris Paul hits a huge three to cut the lead to 43. Okay, let's think here. Probably not an SEC team. It's an SEC team.
It is an SEC team.
Let's see here.
Because it has no bearing on the decision, I'll give you that help.
Okay, so it's not Alabama.
Nope.
It's not LSU.
Nope.
I already said that.
I think it's in an oil state.
Oklahoma.
The Sooners.
There we go.
The national champions in baseball are the number 10 team in the country. So well done. You guys got all 10 of them. That Oregon being one kind of surprised me, but I think overall that's a pretty good list. Texas Tech and Alabama, the two that you guys guessed that weren't on there, I would say probably are pretty close behind.
Yeah, like 11 or 12.
They did release the full rankings. I think Tennessee is an 85 overall. And Vanderbilt's an 81.
Yeah, I think we were talking about that in one of the breaks. Vandy being a team up there, finally they're getting respected on the rankings.
They got their traditions in there now, too.
Vanderbilt's an 81, and if I can find Tennessee, they might be fine. There they are. Yes, an 85. So there you go. Those are your rankings for the teams. But there was the rankings yesterday for the atmospheres, which I think is always a fun exercise of what are the toughest stadiums to play in college football? Because that's a large reason why we love college football is the raucous atmospheres that you get, especially here in the SEC. Number eight, Neyland, which I think you can make an argument it's a little bit too low. The teams above them, LSU, Tiger Stadium, Death Valley, I think that's a deserving number one.
Undisputed yes. Number one.
Like, I don't think anyone's really going to argue with that. I would argue with the Horseshoe Ohio Stadium being number two. I think that's
really?
Too high. Yeah.
I would go with another Big Ten team over them.
Beaver Stadium's number three, yep. Penn State. I think that would be higher for me than Ohio State. And then you've got Sanford Stadium at Georgia, Bryant-Denny, Alabama. Both good atmospheres, but I think on the right night, Neyland could be a tougher place to play.
Where's Kyle Field?
Kyle Field's 10.
Really?
Yep.
I have a video that would say otherwise.
Kyle Field, I mean, you can pack a ridiculous amount of people in there. But yes, Neyland is eighth. The other teams in front of them, Autzen at Oregon, that's a tough place to go win. And then the Swamp, Ben Hill Griffin Stadium in Gainesville is number seven.
Yeah, that's a respectable number seven. We'll see what happens this year. We all know Mississippi State's not anywhere in the.
I bet you they're ranked
25. Yeah. Yep. All right, respectable.
They're 25 with their artificial noisemakers.
Why the hell is Kroger Field not number one? That's all I'm asking.
Yeah, Kroger Field did not make the top 25.
Just missed it, I'm sure.
Wayne Stadium, number 22.
Look at that.
Enter Sandman carrying so much water.
I got a question for you at the, 11:30 segment?
Okay.
Yeah, or 11:45.
Okay.
I'm going to hold it for a while.
All right, sounds good.
It just hit my brain.
We'll
Sorry.
Wait for that.
Yeah.
What do we think? Do you think Neyland should be higher? I think
it should be lower.
Really? You think it's lower?
I think eight is too high.
I think Neyland, again, I'm a Vandy guy, but night game in Neyland against a big opponent, that is a really tough place to go into with the atmosphere. I think I might go Neyland over at least two of the other SEC teams in front of them. LSU, again, undisputed number one, but I think there's an argument Tennessee could be better than Georgia, Alabama, or Florida.
I'll meet you in the middle. I think you should be right where they are.
Okay. You think eight's good?
Yeah, I think that's fine.
I would probably say five or six.
See, here's the issue I have is Tennessee is a 8-4 team at best.
But that
plays a factor into it. Because if I were to, not bite my biased tongue, I'd say Mississippi State, hands down, is one of the best atmospheres in college football. Like, one of the most chaotic in all of college football. You go back and look at it against Arizona State last year, that was one of the greatest games I've seen in a long, long time. It had me bought in.
Well, it plays a role because the question here is not it's not a ranking of the best atmospheres. It's the toughest places to play. So, Yes, winning at home is a big part of it. That's why I think you see Ohio State up there. Because even if they're Dr. Locke's going to call in. But, when I watch Ohio State games at the Horseshoe, I'm never, in awe of the crowd. I think maybe it's SEC bias. I think the SEC games are – it's just like watching a game in Knoxville or College Station or even, like Williams-Brice Stadium in South Carolina is 14 – or 16, excuse me. That's a really – good team.
Sure.
A good place to play.
Yeah. Tough atmosphere for sure. That's why I think Mississippi State's one of the toughest atmospheres in all of college football. That's why yes, it's a cowbell. Yes, it's an artificial noisemaker, whatever. But that is a tradition unlike any other. You can't hear yourself in that stadium. Heck, I've had a cowbell thrown at me before. So, it's one of those atmospheres you just.
Yeah. Elaborate.
Well, 2013-2014, when Mississippi State was ranked number one in college football when they beat Auburn, that Saturday 3:30 kickoff on CBS. Everybody was celebrating. It started to rain in the fourth quarter, and from the third deck, the second deck, somebody was ringing their cowbell so hard, the bell little metal ball that was inside of it came out of the cowbell and hit me in the back of the head. Then in the fourth quarter, when Dak Prescott took the final knee, somebody threw a hot coffee mug, and it hit the backside of my head from the third deck. Luckily, it didn't hit the top of my head. I probably would have died. But it just shattered behind me. I had a big old whelp on the back of my head. Yeah. I have two witnesses.
I believe you. That's just bad.
Nate Kitson and my brother. So they definitely know for sure.
Hail State, baby.
You got that right.
Well, talking about these great atmospheres, we'll take a break here. But I want to know, what is a college football stadium that you're dying to get to that you haven't seen yet? We can do that on the other side. What's a bucket list college football atmosphere that you want to get to? 615-737-1025. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, next man up. 1025 The Game. Next man up, 1025 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt. We were going through the best atmospheres in college football. Every year, the college football video game ranks the toughest places to play. Neyland Stadium was number 8. We were going through some of the top 25. And I asked the question, what's a bucket list college football game that you want to get to? A stadium that you haven't seen that you have to go experience just once. We'll take your answers on our phone and text line, 615-737-1025. Our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. There's, I think Death Valley is number one for me, LSU. Like, I think I've got to see a game in that stadium. The other one would be, I think, Penn State. Happy Valley, whiteout, though. It has to be a whiteout. I thought I was going to get to experience it a couple years ago. Virginia Tech and Penn State had a home-and-home scheduled, but the Virginia Tech game in Blacksburg got canceled due to COVID, so they canceled the back end of that, too, back up in Happy Valley. So I think those are the two that stand out to me, but there are plenty. There are so many great atmospheres around college football.
Yeah, I was mentioning you in the break. I think Oklahoma State would be a fun one.
Yeah, Stillwater.
They have the paddles. They hit against the pads, whatever that is, and then
tarps come off there too.
That's yeah, right. Tarps go viral, baby.
They started it in like a negative way, and then the Cardinals made it positive.
Exactly. All resorts back to baseball. I think another one I'd like to go to is the Cotton Bowl for just like the Red River rivalry. I think I'd be pretty
cool. Yeah.
Because I think that stadium in Dallas is that's the only like event they really host is that.
Yeah, outside of like Jerry World, but like the Red River rivalry where it's split right down the middle, or is it the world's biggest cocktail party, Georgia and Florida in Jacksonville? It
won't be the world's dumbest rivalry name.
It won't be in Jacksonville the next few years, though, because they're renovating that stadium.
I think it's
so
Orlando.
I think they're bouncing it around to some different places.
Yeah. I think they're in Camping World this year.
Yes, that sounds right. And so those kind of rivalry matchups would be up there for me, even though I would prefer campus sites rather than neutral sites. But the ones where they split it right down the middle, I think that's cool. I was saying to you in the break, like the Rose Bowl. Maybe not for a UCLA game because it's going to be empty, but like a Rose Bowl game at some point would be awesome.
It'll definitely be empty this year because they're not playing there anymore.
Where are they playing?
SoFi.
They're playing at SoFi?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Are they renovating the Rose Bowl or did they just want to play at SoFi?
They just want to play in SoFi.
I think
that's horrible.
The numbers for SoFi are not what they should be. So,
oh
yeah, trying to get as much money in there as possible.
That's probably crazy.
That'd be my assumption.
UCLA playing at SoFi. I want to see the explanation for this because UCLA has officially confirmed the Bruins. Oh, wait. I'm not going to read the. Oh, okay. UCLA will play their home games at the Rose Bowl this year.
Potential
move to SoFi Stadium delayed. So they explored the plans to move it, but as of now, they're staying at the Rose Bowl. So I hope that stays the case. Stay in the Rose Bowl. Like, SoFi Stadium is a really cool stadium. And the NFL, I'm totally fine with the NFL moving to a more futuristic, modern stadium like we're going to see here in Nashville. But college sports need to stick with tradition. Tradition is what makes college sports so great. Stay in your historic stadiums. Do not move to an NFL stadium just because you can.
That's fair. I'd say that'd be the corporate greed kind of leaking into college sports, right? That'd be the primary reason for all that. But no, yeah. I mean, they all play on natural grass, too. Majority of these colleges and universities, they play on the natural grass. That's what the Rose Bowl is, natural grass.
Yep.
So, I mean, yeah, you're right. It is a beautiful place, and it's kind of like the Cotton Bowl in a roundabout way. That's kind of what I was thinking. If they were all going to move this to SoFi, they'd kind of designate the Rose Bowl just for the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
You know?
There's one more that I thought of that I want to go experience. I know Chase and Joe got to go see this. Wisconsin, Jump Around.
Yeah.
Because I want to see how it compares to Enter Sandman. It's very different because Enter Sandman, of course, is at the beginning of the game. Wisconsin, this is end of the third quarter is when they do Jump Around. At least it keeps the fans from leaving. Like, that's been the biggest issue in Blacksburg is all of the students, not all of the students, a lot of the students, though, it's like, oh, we're going to go to Center Street and tailgate, and then we're going to go walk into the stadium, jump for Enter Sandman, and then we'll leave. Wisconsin, at least, it's like that encourages some of those students who may not care about the game as much to stick around for that. I'd like to see how it compares, though, because it looks awesome on TV.
Yeah, and I don't know what the atmosphere would be like in comparison because it's, what, more fans in Wisconsin than there is in Blacksburg?
I think so. Tech is like 66,000.
Because Wisconsin's like near 70-something, like 70.
It's a big stadium.
Yeah, it's pretty big.
Let's see. How much does Camp Randall hold? Camp Randall, 82,000. So yeah, okay. it's significantly more. That's one of those that's up there for me, that it's not like one of those teams that's consistently good, but I really like to see jump around at Camp Randall.
One of my buddies I played high school ball with, Jeremy Darvin, he's now the defensive coordinator at JP2, Connor Noon.
Hell yeah.
There you go. Now, he was telling me when he played at Western, that was the one place that was just deafening. He couldn't really get, you know, anything. He couldn't really do anything, per se. Like, it was just so loud, along with the jump around at the beginning of the fourth quarter. He thought it was so cool.
It's just what makes college sports so great. You just have all these traditions, and everybody's got their own, but they love it so much. I mean, I'm trying to think of some other ones. Like Florida State.
Jeez. Holy cow.
Yeah, this is a good one, too.
There were profanities.
Shipping off to Boston.
There were some profanities about to be said there, Connor.
I was waiting for the
right
scary
moment.
Just to jump scare you. This is mine, for sure. I feel like it's my duty as a Catholic to Notre
Dame. No, that is true. My dad went to a game up there, and although he said it was the coldest game I think he's ever been to in his life, it's cool to see. Touchdown Jesus. And
yeah. I just want to see that campus.
Yeah.
It's beautiful from what I hear.
I was a little disappointed that for the ACC-SEC Challenge, home games are great, so I'm glad that Vandy is hosting Notre Dame.
Right.
But it would have been cool to go see Notre Dame, too.
Yeah, it would have been pretty neat. What's your both of y'all's thoughts on 11 a.m. kickoffs? Yay, nay?
You need them.
Thank you.
You need them, but I think God's kickoff time is the 2:30 Central Time kick.
Yes.
That is what you want if you are attending a game. Now, if I'm watching a game on TV, I prefer prime time, right?
Okay, yeah.
Like night game. But if you're going to a game and it's just a normal game, like, you know, Vandy's playing Auburn.
Sure.
2:30 kick. It gives you enough time that you're not home at 11 p.m., but you also don't have to get up to tailgate at 6 a.m. That's the perfect time for a game.
So what about like a Vandy-Arkansas matchup at 11 a.m. at First Bank?
Somebody's got to play at 11 a.m.
Like, I'm in for that. I don't know why people would disagree. I'm in for Arkansas.
I watch any game, day or night.
I don't hate an 11 a.m. game.
Okay.
But I think if I'm going to a game as a fan, 2:30 Central Time, 3:30 Eastern, that's the time I want. But if it's a big game, you want in prime time.
Here's the day, okay? 11 a.m. kickoff, all right? Vandy, Arkansas, just hypothetical here. You get up at 5:30, get the Blackstone rolling, get breakfast all out there, tailgate. You're done by about 9:45, 10 o'clock. Afternoon's wide open. Go, you know, hang out with your friends, day drink, whatever you want to do. But, you know, 9 p.m., you're in bed. You're watching sports all the way until you fall asleep. That's the day.
See, this is my favorite, and I'm going to get to experience it this year. I'm going back to Blacksburg for one game, and it's a Friday night game, which I think Friday night game, that is my ideal schedule, because get into town Thursday, Friday, tailgate all day, go to the game, and then Saturday you get to enjoy it because you're not having to drive home the next day like you would after a Saturday game. You get to stay, you get to go out, go to some restaurants. See, that... It doesn't work for everybody because Saturday is supposed to be for college football. But in terms of traveling to go to a game, I think that's my ideal schedule.
See, I think the most fun is when you're going to a game Saturday night and you're in the car traveling and you're watching the games as you go.
Yeah, if you're doing a day trip.
That's fun.
Yeah, I like that too.
Like we did this. I've done this a couple times. MTSU played at Alabama. So we got student tickets for $20. It was awesome. We rode down there. That was the day Deion upsetted TCU in his first game
at
Colorado. Kentucky played that day in the morning. They played like, I don't know, Eastern Michigan or someone like that. So that was an easy victory. And then, you know, you get to Bryant-Denny Stadium, which is a mecca,
it's
by the way.
It's unbelievable.
It is awesome.
Yep.
And then you watch that game. So that's – obviously that's an extreme. That's week one. But I enjoy watching games as you travel because if you feel like you're getting the full experience.
That is cool. That is true. I do enjoy a day trip to a game. Like, go up. Maybe you spend the night in the hotel that night, but it's like you get to – it's just a full Saturday. If you go to the game, and then you come back the next day.
That's fair. Yeah.
Let's go to the phone lines here. Kenny the mailman wants to chime in. Kenny, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hello, good friends. Hey, Dr. Crane, got a little info for you.
Uh-oh, okay. What you got?
Comment. I've been to Mississippi State games, and for their size and for their history, they put on a really, really good show. But it's totally illegal according to SEC standards. You said a minute ago, whatever, it's like, I think it's important to follow rules.
Not always. They pay a fine every home game for it.
Well, paying the fine is one thing. Stopping it is another. Can you imagine going to a Georgia game and them handing out little trumpets before every game? Or going to Tennessee and they go, here, everybody, here's some bongos. It would be totally absurd, which what it is basically when you go to Mississippi State.
That's fair. If I were a Georgia Bulldog, I would go and get, I don't know, some form of like a dog whistle. I mean, maybe do something like that. I mean, if you want to, but I think having cowbells implemented into college athletics, especially for Mississippi State, I think that's exactly what you need. I mean, they do it in baseball. They do it over there at Davis Way, but also over at the Duty Noble. So I think it's needed.
Well, I will say this. Cowbells to me are totally appropriate for Saturday Night Live skits, but not for SEC football.
Well, they're appropriate for third downs as well.
I've got a fever, Kenny.
Yeah, I've been all over, and I'm telling you, you know I'm not a UT fan, but when they're right and something's on the line, that stadium is beyond. I can't even describe it to you. I didn't take my kids up there when they were teenagers. Because they would fall in love with it. When the band comes out and they split and make a T, it literally is indescribable. That's why last year's game, Vandy going up there, meant so much to me, because I'd never really seen Vandy beat them when something was on the line. And for a whole year, not only was Tennessee primed for that game, they said, we're going to shut Pavia up. We're going to carry him out on a stretcher. You heard this and that and this and that. They beat the heck out of them. And what made you even matter, the important college voters after that said, well, that game didn't matter because once they lost, they weren't in the top 20.
Yeah.
It's like, well, UT was in the top 20 before the game. You don't count after the game. So it is what it is. But there's a lot of great places across the South, including Mississippi State. You just lose the noisemakers.
Thanks for the call, Kenny. We appreciate it. Yeah, we need maybe somebody needs to adopt the Vuvuzelas and bring them back for SEC football.
I do own one of those as well.
So. You have a Vuvuzela?
I do.
That was what, 2010? Yeah.
Well, Vandy is not free of blame here either.
Yeah, the whistler.
You've got a guy who needs to shut his mouth.
Hey, it's not an artificial noisemaker. He's doing it all on his own.
And that's the problem.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Text or call if you have any thoughts. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We got a couple more segments with you. We can keep talking about college football atmospheres if you got anything. I want to get Dr. Crane's thoughts on the World Cup, too, as we get towards the end of the group stage. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, next man up. 1025 the game. Next man up, 102.5 the game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt. Got a couple more segments with you on your Tuesday. Chasing Big Joe coming up at noon. We do have Dr. Crane on, and whenever Nick Frazier's on the show, I want to use his soccer expertise during the World Cup here. U.S., another big win, and more important, they win the group and do not have to play all their top players on Thursday against Turkey, going to face a third-place team in the round of 32. So, great start for the U.S., but obviously still a long way to go to try and make a deep run.
Yeah, it'd be the first time in, U.S. men's national team history for them to win all three of their games in the group stage. I mean, they've gone undefeated before, but they have not won all of their games and gone undefeated. So, that is that'd be an incredible feat for them. And right now, the current live standings of the knockout rounds, United States, after last night's Algeria game, they would be playing Algeria as it stands in the first round of the knockouts.
I did see, so there's some websites have as it stands right now, like if there were no more games, this is who it would be. I think The Athletic has a most likely scenario calculator, and Bosnia and Herzegovina is still the most likely for a round of 32 opponent for the U.S. But Egypt and I want to say Czechia? The like two on the other side of that bracket. So the path to the quarterfinals, again, no team is going to be easy to beat once you get past the group stage. But there is a
realistic path to see the U.S. reach the quarterfinals for the first time since 2002.
Yeah, for sure. And looking at just that entire run there, and I'm going off the BBC when it comes to their knockout stage as it stands, if the U.S. were to play either Algeria, Egypt, Czech Republic, whatever it may be, their biggest run-in would be Spain.
Spain in the quarterfinals is the expected outcome.
Right. And personally, looking at the way Spain has played, you could probably say everybody's dialed in on Yamin Yamal being the young forward of talent. But let's not discredit guys like Orzabal or other players along the lines of their midfield that has really helped out a guy like Yamin Yamal. And that's something that we see in modern-day soccer where everybody neglects the grit and grind midfield. And that's something that Spain has always prided themselves on since the early 2000s. You look at the U.S. right now, and again, it's that Pentagon midfield where I didn't even think this was possible with Mauricio Pochettino, but he has unlocked a new form of style with this team, especially with Weston McKennie, playing him in more of an attacking forward slash midfield role. I guess it's more like a center attacking mid, but he's still able to drop into the midfield and make those overlapping runs. You've seen, you know, Tillman get involved, Freeman on the right flank, Dest as well has chipped in. That entire right side of the pitch for the U.S. men's national team has been an absolute workforce. And I wonder, with Christian Pulisic not playing against Australia, I would assume that this is a heavily rotated side against Turkey on Thursday night at 9 p.m. Just rest as many players as possible. I don't see Flo Balogun getting the start. I do see Gio Reyna probably getting the start.
Yeah.
I think that's a player that has, you know, seen a new, you know, life with the U.S. men's national team.
Would you be worried? Would you want Pulisic to play a little bit on Thursday night?
No.
Any worry about rust or anything like that? Having not played, it'll be almost 3 weeks by the time he would be back on the field?
I have no issues.
Okay.
Yeah. The only reason why I say it in full confidence is because he's done that at the club level with AC Milan.
Okay.
AC Milan missed him a little bit of time. And again, you're playing with the best of the best players. And what I mean by that is, like, you're looking at the U.S., this is the best of the best they've ever had for a roster.
Yeah.
In my lifetime, in your lifetime, in Connor's lifetime, in the last 20, 30 years. So to see this evolution of young talent playing as mature as the rest of European soccer, I think that's why I'm so confident if Pulisic misses on Thursday and is not involved with the lineup at all on the subs at all, I have no issues with this team.
I've got the Athletic's predictor up here. Okay. So the U.S. has clinched Group D. They will play in San Francisco on July 1st in the round of 32. 58% that their opponent is Bosnia and Herzegovina. 18% it's Qatar, and then no one else with more than 10%. If they were to win that game, would play in Seattle on July 6th, against most likely either Egypt or there's a whole bunch of teams that could be third place in that bracket. But we'll say Egypt most likely in Seattle. And then you're right, it would be Spain in Los Angeles on July 10th if they were to advance to the quarterfinals. So, again, not an easy path, but definitely a realistic path to reach the round of eight. And, you know, you get on the pitch with Spain, you got a chance. We saw Cape Verde get a draw against them about a week and a half ago. That'd be a fun game to watch, to see the U.S. compete with a team that was the favorite heading into this tournament.
Yeah, and if you're a U.S. men's national team, if you're just a red-blooded American and you just love the game of soccer, you will probably be cheering for Qatar against Bosnia and Herzegovina in that last group stage match, because they both play each other. That's going to be the decider of who goes to the knockout rounds. If it's a 0-0 draw, if it's a 1-1 draw, Bosnia goes in over Qatar because they have the goal differential.
Right, but so if Qatar wins, it would be Qatar in the round of
32. They have to win outright.
Gotcha. Yep. All right. I'm excited. And Thursday, it's a late kick. If there was a game that wasn't going to matter, I'm glad it's this one. It's a 9 o'clock kick. I don't have to worry about staying up for it. But then July 1st, next Wednesday, will be that round of 32 matchup as we move on to the knockout stages. Before we wrap up on the World Cup here, how about the goal scoring performances yesterday from Messi, Mbappe, and Erling Haaland? Those three guys have played on the same day in both of the first two rounds of the group stage, and I think they've scored a combined 13 goals.
It's incredible.
They're ridiculous.
It goes to show you, I mean, minus Messi in this conversation, it goes to show you the young scoring talent that's out there in European soccer.
Yeah.
It's fun to watch. I think Kylian Mbappe is going to definitely break Lionel Messi's goal record. Obviously, Messi broke Miroslav Klose's record
yesterday.
But looking in the next World Cup or the World Cup to follow, it's Mbappe's record to break.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, he's two.
He's already top five, right?
He's 16 right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, 16 goals. Obviously, Messi has 18, but it's just a matter of time for that to be broken again.
Crazy. Yeah, it's been fun to watch those players, and we're getting close to the end of the group stage. We're going to get into the knockout rounds and get some really fun matchups down the stretch of this World Cup.
My question to you that I held on to
okay.
this segment.
Yep.
Inner Sandman. Should that be adopted into soccer culture?
Okay, we can talk about that coming up next and wrap up the show. 615-737-1025. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, next man up. 1025 the game. Next man up, 1025 the game. Wrapping up the show on your Tuesday morning. Chase and Big Joe up next here on 1025 the game. Tomorrow on the show, Corey Curtis makes his long-awaited return. Had to miss last week, so Corey will be in studio with us. Looking forward to that. Dr. Crane asked me before the break, should Enter Sandman be woven into American soccer culture? And I'm all in on this. I saw a tweet, and actually my friend sent this to me. I'll bring it up. Of what the U.S. should do if they reach the quarterfinals.
Like,
here we
see,
go.
We see Country Road all the time. Why not Enter Sandman?
Yeah, it says, okay, this is for San Francisco. They're just saying for the knockout stage. I was thinking, do it for the quarterfinals. Go to the Rose Bowl. It says, white out like Penn State, play Neck by LSU from the marching band. Come out to Enter Sandman in the first half and Sandstorm in the second half. Play Mo Bamba at the second half hydration break. Just like full-on college footballify World Cup soccer.
And we need the Florida State chants throughout the whole game.
Yeah, the chop. I mean,
love that.
The rest of the world already doesn't like us getting into soccer. Why not embrace it? Yeah, they're going to hate all of it, but what's the difference? They don't like us anyway.
They'll be so confused. They love our culture. They love our food.
They do.
They love all that. But once they catch a little bit of college football, they're like, whoa.
I just think that's a great idea. And European soccer atmospheres, I think, are the only thing that challenges college football. Like, the chants and the way everyone is bought in on every single touch. Like, great. But they ain't seen nothing like college football. The European mind cannot comprehend.
No, and that's why, look, as much as a soccer fan as I am, I despise American soccer chants. I despise them.
Yeah.
Because they all root from Europe, or they're a nursery rhyme that has been put into a...
What's the one that's getting made fun of this World Cup, that the we support the U.S.
Yeah.
U.S.
We got to stop
US.
That one. As Americans, that...
And that's the way we like it. Like it. We love it!
Yeah, I feel like I'm listening to, like, Blue's Clues or something.
Sounds like a bunch of Savannah Banana fans to me.
Yeah, I don't want to be listening to Blue's Clues during the middle of a game. I want something that's going to get me riled up, that gets the chills on my skin,
yeah.
Like my hair start rising up. That's what I want.
U.S. coming out to Enter Sandman would be absolutely electric. I also saw a video yesterday of, like, why are we playing these games in the big NFL stadiums? They're like, you can go to Los Angeles or you can go to Tuscaloosa, Alabama and have 100,000 people right on top of you. Or go to Blacksburg, Virginia. Like, show the European visitors that side of America.
Well, I think Death Valley had a game, and so did, what, Auburn at Jordan
Hare? Well, yeah, they did have the friendlies, yes, but I guess they didn't have the real ones.
Could you imagine? I mean, having actual World Cup games, and I mean, there was one in College Station, too. It was Argentina versus Finland?
Yeah.
Or Iceland, one of
the
two?
Yeah, somebody was saying, like, Lionel Messi playing at Kyle Field was not on my bingo card for... life.
Yeah, I saw that again. Somebody was like, yeah, Messi's playing at Kyle Field before Georgia. I was like, that's hilarious.
Yes, I saw that one too. So funny. Quickly before we wrap up, we didn't mention Oklahoma won the baseball championship last night. That is now 7 straight SEC titles and should be 8 if Arkansas could catch a foul pop-up against Oregon State back in 2018. But congratulations to the Sooners. That was dominant last night.
Yeah, I think they rode the wave of just momentum, and we all saw how that 1-2 punch of the brothers being the pitching tandem for Oklahoma just paid off for them. And again, it just goes to show you in Omaha, being an RBI baseball team pays off longer than it does being a home run team.
Yep, went up 9-1, ended up winning, what, 13-2 was the final?
Mm-hmm.
And Oklahoma, national champs for the third time. And again, still 2018, the last time a non-SEC team won the national championship. We got the NBA draft tonight. Nate Amon likely going to be a lottery pick or just outside. I would say top 15. I saw a mock draft on ESPN had him going ninth, so that'll be interesting to see. The Tennessee freshman, one of the top players in this draft. And I would guess Tyler Nickel for Vandy, Aaron Nkrumah for Tennessee State. Both probably will hear their names, but I would guess on night two.
Yeah. That'd be pretty cool just to have two local guys get drafted. It's pretty neat.
Yeah, it's exciting. NBA draft tonight. One of the most loaded classes we've seen, especially at the top. So I will be locked in for that. We'll see who goes first. We got to ask the question, who's going to go first? Quickly, DeBonsa or Peterson? Who goes first to the Wizards?
DeBonsa.
I'm going DeBonsa, too.
I'll go Peterson.
Okay, you'll say Darren Peterson. He only took one workout, and it was to the Wizards. So we will
That's
see
my
if he called his shot. That wraps up our show for the day. It's been a fun one. Appreciate Dr. Crane and Connor Newt. Tomorrow, Corey Curtis is on with us at 9 a.m. But keep it right here. Chase and Big Joe are coming up next here on 102.5 The Game.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.